My name is Khadija Safari. I was born in Aylesbury, but I was actually brought up in a place called Milton Keynes in Buckinghamshire. My mother is English and my father is Italian. And I went to school there and I grew up there up until the age of 19, when I then moved to London. Growing up, my mother didn't really have any belief in any religion. She didn't follow anything. My father's Catholic. However, that doesn't really mean that he or myself knew too much about the religion. So, for example, we celebrate Christmas and Easter, but I don't really know the reasons behind doing that. I went to a school called Stantonbury Campus. That was my secondary school. A junior school was a place called New Bradwell County Combined School, but pretty much all English people. So even if they weren't English, so maybe they were Asian or African, they were all born in England. So I didn't really have any contact with anybody that was from a different country that had been raised there and then had come to the UK. So the school had no education about religion at all, except for we sang some hymns in assembly in classrooms. And later on, when I did go to secondary school, I started to meet a couple of different people that were from different places in the UK, but not necessarily from different countries, although maybe their parents had been born in different countries. But I wasn't really exposed to anybody that was practical in any sort of religion at all. And even in our school, we didn't study religious education, we studied something called English Humanity, which touched on different religions and their history, but not actually about how people practice them or, you know, what the meaning behind them is or anything like that. Religion wasn't really discussed at all in my family, apart from every year at Christmas, on Christmas Day, my dad would say, "Hey, let's all go to church." And me and my mum would both go, and yeah, it never happened. He sometimes would go by himself. But the only time I'd ever visited even church was for funerals. That was the only reason. So I actually associated churches with being quite a sad place to be. And actually later on in my life, I went on a holiday. We went to the south of France, a place called Lourdes, and they've got a very huge church there. And I visited there, was with my Italian family. And I started crying in the church just because I found it really sad, because it just reminded me of funerals. That's the only association I had. Any other time I'd had contact with anything to do with religion was when I went to Italy, whereas my family in Italy, I wouldn't really say practical as such, but they had belief. And, you know, at Easter, definitely we all went to church if I was over in Italy, because we tried to go every year. But obviously, with it being in Italian and me being so young, I didn't understand anything that was being said in the church at all. I didn't have any contact with Islam until I moved to London. And I moved to London when I was 19 because I was working a full-time job, Monday to Friday, 9 till 5, and I'd been there for 2 years. And one day I just decided, this isn't what I want to do with the rest of my life. I don't want to sit behind this computer. I need a change. I didn't know what I needed, but I just felt I needed to learn something. So I chose a graphic design advertising degree. I applied for it, I went on holiday. When I got back from holiday, I'd been accepted and the course was in London, and I'd specifically chosen London for where I wanted to look for a course. First contact really I had with a Muslim was a girl which actually went to my university. And I remember we were sitting exams once, and I always used to take in a snack with me to an exam. I'd take a can of Red Bull, a bottle of water and something to eat, because it's a 3-hour exam. And I remember offering her something. She said, no, I'm fasting. It was during some exams. I was like, wow, she's not eating. Wow, that must be tough. But didn't really follow it through. And then I knew I wanted to start working while I was at university, but I wanted to get experience in my field. And it just so happened that I went to a salon in London, and the gentleman that was running the salon said, look, we're looking for somebody that does marketing. I said, well, look, that's what I'm studying, graphic design and advertising. I can work part-time, but I can't do any more. And he said, yeah, please come along. And on the first day, he said, right, the most important things are that you're smart to the customers, you're nice to the customers, and when you take the money, the first sale that you make of the day, I want you to say these words, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So I got a pen and I wrote it down and thought, okay, I don't know what it means, but I stuck it on the computer. He said, if you can't remember it, just say Bismillah. but just make sure that you say it on the first sale of the day. Well, okay, I'll say it. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'll say it. And I was like, so one day I said, well, what does this mean? He's like, well, I'm just saying, like, thank you to God, you know, and may this money be taken in a good way, and may there be more to come that's beneficial. Okay, I'll say it. I started asking them some questions. And one of them said to me, I said, look, you know, maybe you can just take me to a mosque just so I can get some information, just looking for some information. And so she took me to a mosque in London and introduced me to the imam. The imam gave me an English Quran, and it's a really, mashallah, it's a really nice Quran. It's really well explained. And I took it away and I thought, okay, I'm going to start reading it. Let me just read it and get some information. And I started reading it, and I'd read about 10 pages, and I thought, I can't read this. Like, I'm not taking it in. Like, I'm reading it, but because I didn't know enough about what the words meant or what it was describing. And at the time, I didn't really have any belief in God. I believed there was a force, and I believed everything happens for a reason, and what goes around comes around. So I'd spoke to another friend, and she'd said to me, look, don't try and read the Quran. Like, the first thing you should do is just get some of those small books. And another friend of mine had given me a book about science and Islam, and I started reading that, and I found it fascinating. I was like, wow, hang on, this was like 1500 years ago. How did they know this? This stuff hasn't like been discovered until recently. And science is something I'd always been really interested in. And suddenly the questions which I'd been asking from childhood were starting to be explained and were starting to be answered. I met my wonderful husband, mashallah, about 10 years ago, as he taught me everything I need to know for my kickboxing, Muay Thai, MMA. He was my instructor. However, I didn't know him on a personal level. He was just the guy that ran the class.
I was her instructor teaching her, and I was looking for a website designer. And I asked my students, anyone recommend some designer, and the recommendation obviously comes up her. She said, you know, that's my job, that's my field. And I said, well, thank you very much. We might be show you what I want to do. And I was impressed with her work. She's a very good graphic designer. And I said, okay, this is the job I want to do. And we met a few times in the business meeting, basically to design my website. But then one day I said, if you don't mind, I can give you some books to read. And she said to me, yes, one of the books is all about life and Islam.
And then I spent about 3 months in England just reading about it, and I thought, I need a break. I feel like I need to travel somewhere. And I booked a one-way ticket and I flew, and it wasn't to a Muslim country, it was to an island in the Caribbean, which is completely mad, where I spent 3 months. But during that 3 months, the more I was reading about Islam, the more I saw how desperately this country needed it. The people were lovely, but there was all the crime and everything like that all came from problems which the Quran warns you so clearly. Do not even associate yourself with these things. Do not even approach them. And things which had made me angry about my past, not necessarily made me angry with myself, but I'd got frustrated or angry with other people, were all things which were mentioned in the Quran. Drinking, drugs, gambling. I used to walk past betting shops in London and think it's so wrong that they even exist, because there's no benefit at all of going into a gambling shop. Like, they made me angry. I just see them and I'd feel angry. Smoking, anything which intoxicates the body. I wouldn't just not like smoking. It made me angry. When I saw people really drunk and how they became, I didn't like the person that they became. And so it's something which I just kind of removed myself away from slightly. And that's how I started looking into Islam, really. I was reading more and more, and then I just felt, this is right. This is the answer to my question. This is why I didn't really understand anything about Christianity, or, you know, my father being Catholic, because I would never think about asking Jesus or asking a person, like, to me, a person, please, can you help me? Or, you know, I didn't even know what I was meant to be asking. And because before that, actually, I'd thought that, how can there be some guy that sits in the sky on a chair? Like, that's not possible. Surely he'd fall out. Because God, they always say he. And when I read in Islam, it says the only reason it says he is because it would be rude to say it. So God is not a he or a she. We don't know enough for that. And I was like, now it makes sense. That energy which I pictured it as before, or the force which I believed it was, is God, is Allah. But I hadn't, in fact, before that, I'd believed that Allah was a different God to God. I didn't realize it was just the Arabic translation of the word God. And it just all came together. And I started to give information to my Muslim friends about what I'd learned. And then I thought, wow, that's, you know, now I understand. I just felt like I understand. I just had this warm feeling that if anybody follows Islam, they're going to be a better person. They're going to be an amazing person. And if everybody followed Islam, how peaceful the world would be. And I took my Shahada 2 years ago in a mosque in Fulham, Parsons Green Mosque, Al-Muntada it's called. And from that day, I walked away and I just felt amazing. Actually, the Imam said something really amazing to me. He said to me, look, sister, I want you to know, I don't want you to go away and suddenly try and learn everything. It's not possible. Take it step by step and take it slowly. And that's probably the best advice I'd had, because the first Imam that I'd seen had given me a Quran and I'd gone home with it and tried to read it. And then I realized, yeah, it's not, you can't do that. Take one verse at a time, read it, understand it, try and practice it. And from that day I started praying, and alhamdulillah, I've been very happy ever since. I've been asked about wearing the hijab is normally the question which you get, like, you're Muslim. Oh, wow, well, like, do you fast during Ramadan? Yeah. But you must starve. Like, why would you do that? And I was like, well, look, you know, if you think about it, there's children. Let's look at children, because it's something which people are always emotionally attached to, and it, who have probably no food or water or drink for days. And when they do, they just have wheat. I said, how lucky are we to just open our cupboard anytime we like and take out any food we want, or go to the shop and buy whatever you want to eat? I said, when we're fasting, it's not all day. It's for, you know, up until maybe 8 o'clock, let's say, for example. I said, and then I can open my cupboard and I can eat anything I want to eat. I said, I'm so lucky. I'm so privileged. You know, like, we should really think about the people that when they can have water to drink, they don't even have clean water to drink. It's maybe contaminated and it maybe makes them even more ill. I said, and women covering themselves. I said, okay, who is it upsetting? I said, because you think, you know, poor us, we have to cover ourselves up, you know, we don't get to show our beauty to anybody. I said, but who's losing out? I said, me, because I'm not showing my beauty to you, or you, because you're not able to see my beauty. I said, what right do you have, don't mean to upset you, but what right do you have to see my body? I said, surely that's my choice. Surely I should choose whether I show my legs to you or not. And this was actually an estate agent that asked me this, and I said, actually, now you put it like that, it makes me sound a bit selfish. I said, but you have to think about, like, if you ask any Muslim woman who's practicing properly whether she's upset that she has to cover her body and not hear every man on the street shout some remark out to her. No, she's so happy, peacefully walking down the street with nobody hassling her. I said, but also the misconception is that when we get home, we stay dressed like this. Of course not. If you have a husband at home, you're going to dress lovely for him. You know, that's the person that you want to look nicest for. why should you go and show that beauty to everybody else? I said, it's beautiful that you don't have to hear all these comments. I said, and also people treat you differently. I said, for me, if I go into a shop before, maybe if it's a guy, he's going to try and, you know, chat me up or make a joke or, you know. But I said, now they serve you. Hi, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Goodbye. I said, so actually, it's a really beautiful thing, you know. I said, I'm praying 5 times a day. I said, how often do you spend a whole day stressed at work because you've not got enough time in your day to get everything done? I said, what about stopping for a minute just to say, thank God I'm still alive, you know? Or, you know, thank God that I have a job, because there are so many people that don't in this country, not to mention, you know, all the bad stuff happening in other countries.
A lovely daughter, mashallah, her name is Safiya Safari. That's my previous marriage, and she's now 7 years old. She's a very good kickboxer, and we love her so much, and we're very happy as a family together. You know, we do communicate a lot, and we find basically our balance. Alhamdulillah.
Me and my wife, we're on the club. We teach Muay Thai, which is Thai boxing, and mixed martial art, which is MMA. And we teach 4 different martial arts here. And we teach from young kids that are 4.5 years old to 65 years old. On Mondays, we do Thai boxing, explosive strikes for men only, and then kids and youth. On Tuesday, my wife, she teach ladies only.
We have Muay Thai and then light sparring afterwards for the ladies, as well as a youth group beforehand.
Yeah. And on Wednesday, we teach MMA, grappling, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. It's 2 hours, it's a very intense program. We start with the MMA cardio killer for men only, and kids and youth. And on Thursday, followed by my wife teaching.
We do ladies only, we do a cardio killer circuit, which basically kills you nicely. burns loads of calories, loads of different stations, working out full body. And then that's followed by Muay Thai and MMA sessions. And then ladies on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have beginner's courses for people that have never done it before. So they come along, try a free session, and then they experience an 8-week beginner's course to get them into shape for the general class.
And before we start the classes, me and my wife, we have sessions which is talking about technique, development, strategy, and then we're finishing pad work and then sparring. For her interest, my interest, always keep it on to keep your reflex and speed and power always alive. And we really enjoyed it. And then when we're done, obviously we start focusing on other brothers and sisters and other people who comes here regularly. And I was teaching them basically exactly what we learned. One, two.
Once I reverted to Islam, I actually initially, quite funnily, I sent my mum and my dad an email to to tell them, not too sure what their reaction would be. And they both emailed me back. My parents are actually separated, so I actually emailed them. My mum was in Italy and my dad was in England, and I emailed them. They contacted me back saying, if you're happy, we're happy. But I think that was a bit of a standard answer. I went to visit my dad at his workplace a couple of weeks later, and he started asking me a few questions like, well, so are you always going to wear a scarf on your head now? Like, does that not bother you? And, you know, so you know you're not going to drink, or well, what's going to happen? And I started explaining to him just a little bit about the reasons why we shouldn't drink, and, you know, why it's nice to be modest and cover yourself. And the more I explained to him, actually, the more he agreed with it, as he'd never really been a practical Catholic as such. So he was fine. He says, well, you know, if you're happy, then of course I'm happy and I'll support you. My mother very blasé. Okay then, you're Muslim, like didn't really, as she doesn't really have too much belief or follow anything, so didn't really mean too much to her. But the more I studied Islam and the more I read how important your mother is in Islam, I started to try and give her a bit more of my time. And this has been a gradual process, try and call her a bit more, because there was kind of a slight gap between us. And she's noticed this, but I still think she thinks maybe it's a phase or something like that. But there was no negative reactions from my parents.
Get ready. And go.
Good, nice.
Good. Yasmin. Good.
Twist your hips even more.
Good. Yeah, nice. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
My friends, however, I did find it really filtered through who were true friends and who were, you know, just interested with me because I'd go out with them, or, you know, maybe we'd look good if we all went out together and stuff like that. One particular friend that I had who had actually advised me when I was researching about Islam, I'd asked my friends' opinions just to see. And some of them were like, oh, yeah, but you won't be able to do this, and you won't be able to do this, and what about this, and what about this? And some of them were like, oh, yeah, it sounds quite nice. And one of them said to me, well, I think the best thing you can do is to go away and research it, find out about it, you know, read about it. And if you think it's right for you, then, you know, then go ahead. But be careful you don't put yourself into something that in a few years' time you might look back and regret and think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. And it's that same friend that when I decided, yes, I was going to revert to Islam and I'd made the decision, that has suddenly become thinking that I've changed myself and I'm not the person that I used to be. And she even said to me, you know, I saw you in the street with your husband the other day and I felt so sad seeing you like that. Like, you know, you're not the bubbly, outgoing person that I remember you to be. And I said to her, you know, I am, I'm just not loud and outspoken on the street or, you know, when we're around people that aren't my family or like yourself, like my friend. And she says, yeah, but you used to love fashion so much. You know, I remember you used to always take us shopping and you loved fashion. I said, well, guess what? I still love fashion. I said, but I wear it at home for my husband. I don't wear it for every random guy on the street. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey, but alhamdulillah, along the way I've met so many amazing sisters and so many positive people that completely blow my mind away, that more than replace people that I might have lost that maybe haven't accepted me for who I am. One of the most beautiful things about Islam is the peacefulness of it and the inner happiness, like the ability to control anger. You're not meant to get frustrated or angry, because you should be thankful really for all the other good things you have. Anything can happen around the corner. Unfortunately, people do get injured, people do die, you know, and we have been given this life to appreciate everything we have and to be thankful for everything. Thank you.